Know about you, but this session hits hard. I think the text that we're dealing with tonight comes across real hard, particularly for the church, to be sure that we are not being unjust and that we are unjustly. Even among ourselves, we can always, it's easy for us to talk about the world and the injustice that other folk are doing. But when you turn the table to ourselves and turn the mirror and we're looking at ourselves, then there may be some areas that the church, and when I say the church, I'm not just talking about Jerusalem church alone, but the bride of Christ. We must be able to say, hey, we ain't doing what we're supposed to do. So this lesson is very interesting because Nehemiah begins to call out his own people. He calls them out because of how they're acting. And when you look at our theme for this month, our church theme for this month, and the mindset that we're focusing on for this month of June, the mindset is maximizing our minds to identify and address ministry challenges. And one of the ministry challenges that I think we face is that being just according to the Bible and being just among ourselves within the church and being able to listen to what others are dealing with and how they view or their perception of how we're living and what we're doing in light of what the scripture tells us and teaches us to do, and in light of what our mission statement is and what our policy and plans are. Because people can get turned off by our religious praise because of our unrighteous performances. That way, can be turned off by our religious praise because of our unrighteous performances. We holy and happy on Sundays, but as soon as we leave the choir stand, as soon as we leave the pulpit, as soon as we leave the pews, then our nose is being turned down at some people that don't look like us, or don't smell like us, or don't dress like us, or don't talk like us, whatever the case is, don't have what we have. And when that happens, then we're in no position to be salt and light. In fact, we're more like garlic and vinegar, and a dark, I'm looking at this what are these things called, these curtains that don't let you they call darkness, these curtains that don't let light in, they're in the curtains, whatever the thing's called, blinds, whatever. But that's what we're like when we let our don't allow our religious push our religious performances. Our religious praise does not line up with our performance, unrighteous performance. So in the text, Nehemiah looks and sees what the people are doing, and what is happening is that they are buying up the land and buying up land and charging their own people exorbitant prices for food, okay? And it's okay to sell the food, but they were charging like these high interest rates. That's what usury, the word usury there in the text, is they're charging these high interest rates. And when people can't pay, they have to almost selling their children, making their children work, enslaving them, and it's something that they had been enslaved themselves or still in captivity, and some are being able to go back, from Babylon, from Persia, and so I let them go back. But they're doing to their own people what had been done to them. Okay. And Nehemiah says, come on, y'all, that ain't right. That's not how this thing works. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. And sometimes the church has been, and I want some feedback from anybody who want to share, wherever you're saying the church. And I don't mean just Jerusalem, but the church in general have been complicit in in injustice issues. The body of Christ have been complicit, or we've been a part of being unjust to people. I mean, we don't have to talk about, the slavery issue, which, prior to Civil War, but particularly in the Civil War, where there were churches that said nothing about slavery. Did a paper back in 96, wrote a paper on, the theological implications of the Civil War. They talked about what did the churches not say, about how wrong this was in not looking at people as being in the image of God. And we see that same thing happening. They're being perpetuated by individuals who say they love God, but still view people, or certain people, less than they are in his eyesight. Another thing that you think of where we've been complicit, the church has all been complicit in injustice, where we've been a part of things that's not right or not just, and inflicted it on people in the name of religion. Anyone? Or do you agree with that? Do you think this happens today? Does it happen today? There's no injustice at all. Everybody's good. No injustice. No. So the church is doing good. The church is being fair to everybody, right? Oh yeah. Okay. Well, we know it's not. We know the church is not, okay? The church is not being, as it relates to the whole Bible, there are many Christians in various areas that still view some things that does not treat people. When we think about, our nation, how we treat people, how we're, treating other nations, particularly now, and do it in the name of Christianity, or use Christianity, Christian nationalism, patriotism, all these kind of things, and make them synonymous, and they're not. And we are unjust to people. Those who are Christians do not act justly in the areas that they represent. And so the church has to say something about that. And so we have to ask ourselves, what can we do, or what can we do to not perpetuate systemic injustice, even in the church? So let's take it out of society. Let's take it to the church. There are people in the church, and when I talk about the church, I'm talking about the local congregation now, who feel that they don't are not represented as like other certain people are, and some of the things that caused that over the years, and you've seen through history, in many churches where certain people don't have a voice because they don't have the money that certain people have. Certain people don't have a voice because they don't have the name that other folk in the church have. They don't have the educational background that other people have. And so because they seem to be less than these other people in these certain areas, then their voice is minimized and they are treated unfairly or unjustly because their lack of something. Would y'all agree with that? Ever see that? Do you think that ever happens in churches? Because I'm not a part of a certain family, because I don't have a certain job, a certain education, because I don't live in a certain neighborhood, because I don't speak like certain people, then my voice is not heard and I'm not valued like certain other people. And it's like I'm looked over. Okay?
That's a true statement.
Does that happen? Yeah, it sure happens. It happens. It happens. And so the church has to be sure that, and this is what Nehemiah says. Nehemiah is saying, you are doing this to your own brethren, to your own people. He said, and here's the sad about it. Nehemiah has to address it. He addresses his, or he calls the leaders. He said, wait a minute. You all, this is not right. Y'all need to stop doing this. He said, and here was the bad part about it. I think this is what stuck out to me more so in the entire thing. When he says to them here in verse, let's see. Yeah, in verse 9. So I say, it is not good that you do. You not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies. In other words, when you talk about their reproach, you say, listen, what we're doing, you're making us look bad and making God look bad to the folks outside of our nation. In other words, as a church, when we do this to each other, as a church, when we're not fair and we're unjust, as a church, when we're not living, you make the church look bad to those who we're trying to win. Their testimony is shot. They don't want to come be a part of us because they say, well, look how they treat each other. Look how they do. They're not being salt and light. So why should I go join them when they're unjust with each other? And that's what Nehemiah said, how can we say we serve a God who's good and look how we act with each other? That does not jive. And here again, we have to make sure that so he says, listen, I'm going to bring a command to you. I'm going to bring a charge to you. Yeah, it's okay. You can sell, you can do the corn and stuff, you can do the mindset, but leave up the usury. Don't charge them 10% for it. If it's $5, it's $5. That's it. Don't try to make extra money off them because it's in your power to do so. And we should be, as believers, we should be above board in that respect when it comes to dealing with one another. Our church covenant talks about we ought to be faithful in our, exemplary in our deportment, faithful in our engagement, exemplary in our deportment, how we conduct ourselves, how we can do what we do. All those things tie into this, that people ought to know that we are people who can be trusted. We're not trying to get over on anybody like a fat rat in a cheese factory. We're not being shyster to my guys are trying to do something to get more than others. No, we're being fair with folk and everybody in the body of Christ is on equal footing. If God says the word of God that there's no Jew, no Greek, no bond, no free, no, he's saying now there's no distinction in what it, male or female. There's no distinction. There's no certain level or certain thing that a certain requirement for certain people in the church. When it comes to salvation, that everybody is guilty in God's eyesight, and everybody, no matter who you are, what you got, everybody gotta come to Christ, come to God this way through Christ. Okay. And if all of us gotta come the same way, and so say, yeah, we may have different, maybe from different staff, different statuses in life, but that status does not, our status in life does not give us a greater status with someone who does not have the same status we have. But watch this though. My status in life does not make me more in God's eyesight than someone who does not have the same status that I have. But because I've been afforded a certain status, I have a great responsibility to even do more than those that don't have. All right? If I've been blessed with millions and you've only been blessed with thousands, I need to give a portion of my millions more so than anybody's, because I have the ability to do that. That's being right with God because God has blessed you to do that. Okay? He's given you intellect more so than someone else. Then you ought to use those gifts that he's given you and those talents he's given you more so than anyone else because you've been given that to be used of God for the body of Christ. Okay? And when Paul talks about that in Romans 12, though, and 1 Corinthians, and about the various gifts that we have, said, use them for the body of Christ. So Nehemiah, he addresses this right head on with these members of the nation and says, what you all are doing is not right. And what he did, he talked about him not taking the governor's portion of the land, the governor's portion of the food, the wine, all that kind of stuff. He had a right to some of those things. Okay. Him being governor, there were, lack of a better term, perks that he got as the governor. And all other governors in the past had taken advantage of them. But Nehemiah said, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to take the perks Even though it's due me, I can't. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because it puts a burden on the people. He was concerned about the people and not, fattening his coffers. He wanted to be sure the people had what they needed. I mean, we saw how they were, he had oxen every day that he had stuff and they built something. He did it on his own. He didn't exact more money off the people to be sure he was taken care of. Okay. And he says, listen, I want you nobles, I want you people, I want you to understand. Let's not do this to our own brethren. Let's not make them slaves to us. Who are we? We just come out of this. So why should we do to them when we didn't like it? Why should we think that they're gonna like it? And some of them were doing it to their own family members. And I think that when we understand our relationship with God through Christ, it ought to show us have compassion for others, and we ought to want to do right, particularly our own folk. Questions, comments, sorry.
Yeah, sometimes it just seems, even in today's society, that people are always trying to take advantage of others, and because they're basically just greedy, and not considerate of others' needs. Even though they might have an abundance, but they still want more.
They
We see
want
that
more.
in the country all the time.
Yep, they want more. How much is enough?
Right.
How many millions do you really need?
Right.
You know, you know. I'm sure all of us would love to have an abundance where we can be sure that we're taking care of our families, taking care of, but how much really is enough? Particularly when you start talking about people having the millions, I'm like, yeah, you know. One of the questions that the study guide, when you go to right now meeting, look at the study guide, one of the questions that was asked is, if you had a superpower, if you had, could have a superpower that you had in the world and had a superpower to help people, what would that superpower be? Let me show you. Yeah, if you had a superpower that was solely intended to help others, okay, you have a superpower. For people with those superheroes, superpowers, they can do certain things, Superman, Batman, all the other stuff. But if you had a superpower that was solely intended to help others, what would it be and who would you help? What did you think about? What would it be and who would you help? You ever sit down and thought about it? Go ahead, go ahead, come on. Go.
I think the superpower I would like to have is the power to heal.
Okay.
Because
Okay.
cancer is just running rapid, and I've lost several friends and relatives to it. Matter of fact, I just went to see someone yesterday. So the power of healing, if I had a superpower.
Anyone else? If you had a superpower, what would you do? What would it be, and how would you use it to help others? And who would you help?
Oh, Pastor Grant,
Sure.
I think if, just never really thought about that, but I guess if I had superpower, I guess I would say love, because it, that's what God wants us to do, love, and then it'll change people's hearts and mind about, the evil things, and we'll be more focused on helping and, caring and sharing with one another.
Anyone else want to take a stab at it?
I want to be the fixer.
All right, fixer. Okay.
All
Who'd
problems.
you fix? Huh?
All people's problems. Every problem, I want to fix it.
Everyone had you fix it. TV show called The Fixer. Is it a show called The Fixer too? Somebody. I think it is. I think it's a show called The Fixer.
I don't know.
It is.
Never heard of
I know it's The
it.
Closer, but I thought it was something called The Fixer, or somebody maybe on a TV show was The Fixer. Okay.
I heard of a show called The Equalizer, but not the
Yep.
film. Okay.
Somebody was the fixer. And even that, he fixed stuff for folk who, he had these special skills that he fixed situations. Been pretty when he dealt with folk.
If I had superpowers, I would take all the guns from everybody.
Okay, take
There
all
would
the
be
gold.
no guns.
Right? All the guns.
If I were a fixer, I would try to make sure all homeless people had somewhere to lay their heads.
Okay. Okay. All homeless people had somewhere to lay their head, all right?
Yeah, a home or
Yeah.
something. I mean, they wouldn't be on the street.
It's good.
My superpower would be that of a farmer, that I'd have food supply everyone that would be in need of it without them knowing I was giving it to them. Or well, they would be on that door of their home every morning, they'd look out and they'd have enough for the whole year.
Wow, okay. Ooh. Anyone else? No. So in these particular things that you have shared, and I know just off the top of your head, but the thing of it is that although we don't have those powers to that degree, think about what you do have that can help in some area in doing that. Think about how we can pray. We know that God is a healer, okay? And we know we can pray to him to heal people, but also how we can help support individuals who are dealing with particular diseases, sickness, stuff like that, giving to certain causes for research, stuff like that, do that. How we can show love, the love of Christ to people. How we can support food banks to help people, how we can help to lobby and NRA and gun violence and deal with issues where we try to help minimize that. We may not be able to do it in our own power, but God has the power to do that. And I think what he wants us to do is work through what we have, work what we have to allow his power to work through us and engage society in those things. I think about Moses when he went before Pharaoh, and God, Moses said, well, God, what am I going to do? And I got that. And God said, Moses, what's that in your hand? So what do you have? He just says it's a rod. He says more than a rod. It's the power of God. When I get it, when you use it according to what I tell you, it can do some wonderful things. And we have to ask ourselves, what has God given us as individuals and as the body of Christ that we can give back to him to help us to use for his glory? It may be our skills in communication where we're able to navigate between, speak on things of injustice. It may be our ability to rally people to support certain causes. Some of us know how to get groups together. Some of us know how to raise money for other things. Some of us know how to use our skills and technology to get messages out. There are so many things that we can do that can help alleviate some of the issues that we want to use up that we wish we had superpowers to do. And if it's something that God moves in our heart, then pray and ask God, God, well, how can I may not be able to do it this way, but how can I use this? And what can I do to bring about justice and change in society? Because here's again, if it's not done through the church, if it's not done through the church, then it's going to be prone to injustice getting back out. Not saying that the church won't always do it right, but the church has some guidelines that we follow, which is the word of God, and we're more so going to be closer than those entities that's not doing it according to what God says do. There's always a chance for greed and avarice other things to come in with those who don't have the heart of Christ, you know. And I'm not saying that none, all non-Christians are crooks. I'm not saying that. But, you know, because you got some Christians who are crooks, and there shouldn't be no such thing as a Christian crook. Gonna be a crook, be a crook, gonna be a Christian, be a Christian. There shouldn't be no Christian crook. Yeah. But you know, that's what we that's what Nehemiah was doing here. He was, you know, getting them to understand, listen, we've been blessed by God. God's allowed us to come back and to build the wall, and we need to be sure that we are you know, doing what he wants us to do. You know, you think about, you know, some of you want to be, you know, protecting children. We got vulnerable children out there, you know, protecting them is something that you know, somebody wants to do. You know, being able to help those that are unfortunate, who are the downtrodden. That's what Jesus did. You know, straightening things out with people to make sure that people are treated fairly. And that's what the church should do. Which one of the other things that he talked about was that, you know, and I want to ask this in a question form, because many people believe this. Why do you not believe that Christianity is a white man's religion? There are many people who do, but why do you not believe that Christianity is a white man's religion?
Because the Bible doesn't say that. The
Okay.
Bible doesn't indicate one particular race, you know, because he made us all. So that's why I believe it's not a white man's religion.
Anyone else?
I think no, most people, the people who believe that, no, may have just cause to believe that because, no, it was taken out of context. But I like to say, we not know the rest of the story. And I guess my favorite scripture is John 3:16, for whosoever, you know.
Anyone else? You're thinking about, okay, so, you know, because you run into people, particularly, you know, those of the African American religion, or you'll have it, oh, it was this white man book, you know, or it's a book that we all mistake, man wrote it, mistakes. How do you defend that? How do you give an answer to people who respond that way? You know, not, you know, and you've got to be careful how you respond with them. You know. Why do we believe the scriptures? The scriptures, unlike some other, like the Quran or the Hadith that Muslims use, or the Book of Mormon, or you know, other writings. You know, we believe the scriptures, our own personal experiences, that we've had with God and through Christ ourselves, the faith that we have. That transformed our lives. You know, we need to be able to, as Paul Peter says, you know, be ready to give an answer, to be able to give a reason of the hopeless one us with fingers in the mirror. We've got to do apologetics with people and help them to see that no, this is not just a white man's book. I think someone said, you know, they use it for their own purposes. They use it erroneously to further their own causes, and people still do that. People still do that. But that does not mean there's something wrong with God. It does not mean that God is unfair, that God is unjust, is just unjust people use things wrongly. And so we have to reflect the God that we say we believe in. And this is what Nehemiah was telling them. You're not reflecting the God who brought you out and allowed you to come back and rebuild the wall. We're not reflective of him. We're not being the salt and light we say we are. And so as these people are dealing with that, I'm sure that there was some animosity with those who were being charged usury. I'm sure there was some pain. And so a phrase that's being used, that's commonly used in church today is church hurt. I'm sure that these people experienced what they could have felt, national church hurt. And so I want to ask, how do you, what do you understand about church hurt? Have you seen a situation where you can say that this person has a legitimate gripe for church hurt? And, do people really define or let me ask you, how many of you have heard people say that about church hurt? Anybody had an experience with someone talking about church hurt? Anyone? You may not have had no dealing with that, but anyone told you about some church hurt and they walked away from the church because of church hurt? Anybody? Do you want to share that?
I've heard of people walking away from the church because they were not put in charge of something or, things of that nature. But yeah.
And here again, and see how people define church hurt, it can be subjective. But I think when people talk about, they look at, I think the true definition of it, no, is that, the church did something that was out of character of what they professed to be. Whether it was from leadership, whether it was from, some ministry or something like that, and these people hurt them based on how they did, how they misrepresented God and what they should have been doing. Okay. And this is what Nehemiah was saying about them, saying, you're making us look bad to our enemies. And because of that, these people are experiencing hurt by their own people. Okay. And what we have to do is model Christ in such a way that when people said they've been hurt by the church, they don't want to go back, we have to give them a reason, a hope to return to Christ, right? To make sure, to return to the fellowship. Because a lot of people, they don't turn away from Jesus. They don't turn away from trusting God or trusting Christ. It's just the people who's supposed to represent him, they don't want to be a part of that. Yet the Bible tells them you need to be a part of this so you can grow. But they don't want to do that because of the church hurt that they felt. And it may be, and the sad part about it is that it may be one church particularly that they were hurt from, but they put everybody in the same category. All churches, all this, all that, and it's really not all, but it's just what they've experienced. And so we have to be very prayerful that we help people navigate back to a trust in Christ. And lift him up and not the church policy, the church all these guys are be very careful with that, and people need to understand that, as human beings, we fall, we sin, and we've got to be transparent in some areas so that people can know that, hey, but God restores us. Questions, questions, questions. So Nehemiah concludes this by reminding them that who they are, reminding them that they have to be examples, and telling them that listen, we got to be just with people. Our actions must match our words, and we've got to be sure that people know that we are living with integrity, we are doing things according to the will of God. And sometimes we got to call people's hands and say, no, we're not being fair to these people. We just can't, we can't see stuff being unjustly done, know it's been unjustly done, have the power to change it, and don't. I think one of the statements said early on is that we've got to be prophetic and not pathetic. Okay. We got to be prophetic and not pathetic, And I think when we fail to bring to the forefront matters of injustice and not deal with it, and then again, we got to know how to deal with it properly. One of the things that we have to understand about the church, the body of Christ, we are flawed people. All of us, we are flawed people, and we're being renewed by God's Spirit every day, okay? So we've got to know how to navigate those spaces, and we're not out to try to make us look bad, make you look bad than me, or me look bad and worse than you, whatever. We've got to know how to protect our hearts and protect us, our who we are. And that's why, in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells them how to do church discipline. He tells them, listen, if you got an brother, go to the person, deal with it. If they hear you, it's over and done with. You ain't got to go no further. You ain't got to go there to tell anybody. You don't do that. But sometimes, once we get something straight with a person, then we want to go broadcast it to everybody else. No, you don't have to do that to make them feel bad. You have to do that. Okay? So let's be considerate of how what we do and what we say could hurt someone else that we're trying to help. Or I could hurt the cause that we're trying to do because we want to put ourselves on a pedestal and make ourselves look like, oh, we're so holy, we're so righteous, and well, I did this, and I want people to know what I did, that I tried to make this right, so I can look good in somebody's eyesight. No, that's not what it's about. It's about making Christ look good, not you. Questions, comments. As we go through, you go through your theme booklet. Note some of the things that you're asked about to consider about the challenges that we face in the church, ministry challenges, and also how we can minimize ministry challenges. There's some key points there that tells us how to minimize challenges that we see in the church, making sure that our purpose is clear, making sure that people understand what the mission of the church really is, so that we all can be on the same page and one accord. That's what the early church was in Acts chapter 2. It says they were on one accord. They had the same minds, thought the same things in Corinthians, Paul says, and we've got to have that same, that's what our theme, our mindset. Everybody's thinking the same way, same purpose, same goals, same vision, same eyesight, same word. That helps us to really advance God's kingdom through the church, through each other. Questions, comments, concerns? For those of you who may sometimes miss a class or anything like that, I think we're trying to be sure we're recording sessions, and we're going to try to make them available, but know that they'll be available not in the video form, they'll be available by audio. I think we'll be able to, is that right, Regina? We'll be able to some kind of way let's post something where it can be go back, you can listen to it by the audio of it. I think that's what we're working on.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. Because the video, you won't see nothing but what you see now. No names and blank faces. So you just want to hear what stuff is. So we're working on that, and we'll find out the best way to post that. And maybe on our website where you can post, you can go to and you click on and listen to what the lesson was discussion was about. Because sometimes you want to go back and say, hey, what was it discussed? And also know that if we do that, listen, because again, I'm real. I have to be really careful, and I'm leery about posting a lot of stuff online and anywhere where anybody has access to it. Okay, and that's why even as we have discussions, because people can go back and pull something, get it out of context, post something that may have been said but wasn't said that way. And y'all know how people do with this AI stuff and with other things. So we had to be very careful with that. So if we do that, just know that, but we got to figure out how to do it where just know in our conversations when we're having Bible study lessons, watch, if you got to say something about somebody, watch your name, you call, or situation that might point to something else that could be taken out of context, okay? Because we are recording, and some of these, if you want access to them, we'll do that. But I just like to keep that in forefront of mind. Those things I think about, that's just cause There's some folk out there trying to find something to nitpick about, or find something to, complain about, or make an issue about, and it's really nothing. All right. Questions? Anything from anyone else? Oh. I'm going to ask you all, those that were on the prayer line tonight. I mentioned a relative of mine, a cousin, Joe Pound. Just ask you keep the Pounds family in your prayers, along with those other prayers we pray. But situation of our family, cousin of ours that's having a difficult time right now, health wise. So just remember the Pounds family in your prayers tonight, if you will. Thank you for that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do bless your name today for this opportunity we've had to study your word and to navigate through chapter 5 of Nehemiah, helping us to see how we need to be fair and just with individuals in the church, and how we need to address certain situations, and how we need to be examples of the faith so that we can be light even before the salt before the world. Thank you for what the Holy Spirit is guiding and teaching us. Thank you, God, for the input that we share. And thank you, God, for how you're going to help us to live before you so that we can be your witnesses wherever we go. We continue just to lift up each member on this line tonight, their families, their homes, and situations that we've prayed for. We have the Pounds family, in a special way, ask God you to touch as only you can do and be glorified in what's going on. We pray, God, now as we dismiss from this line tonight, that we are not dismissing your presence, that you would keep us on one accord as we move forward this week. We do pray for our fitness fund activity this weekend, and pray that you bless our time together, bless the weather, that we'll have good weather to participate in. God, that we'll just glorify you in the time that we share. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.